don't know how you top that type of experience in the body of Christ. And those dozen or so words he uttered might as well have been pages to others. They are a testimony. Testimony of a body's resolve in Christ. When the Lord says to us, get the sin out, he means it. As I was sharing with Brother Lumen yesterday, these are not times that you look back on when you're standing upon God's word as easy times, as times of pleasant memories. In fact, I guess you could say it's very similar to the clearing of land, Robert, Tina. It's a lot of hard work. You find old fences to knock into, splinters and poison ivy and chiggers, which y'all have bumper crops of out there. But yet at the same time, when you see the results of hard labor, and that right there is the results of hard labor. And no matter how hard we were working, God was working far harder. God does not desire that any one of his children perish. And I mean, he will pursue us to the ends of the earth. And seeing a man and knowing this man and loving this man do what he just did, seek the forgiveness of the body, you know it is God moving in a heart, because flesh and blood have no desire for the forgiveness nor the repentance of what it does. It only comes from God. Absolutely. The flesh was never sorry for anything it ever did, except that which ended up maybe hurting itself. And I don't even know then if it survived. It's amazing what people will go back and do again, right? Addictions are that way. It's been a hard time for the whole body. It feels just beyond description to speak about what God's grace can do in the here and now. So many times we think about what God's going to do for us in the hereafter. But if the Lord's teachings, if his commands, if his way of life is not for right now, it's worthless, isn't it? But we know it is for here and now. As much as we would want to, our flesh cannot repent. It hates God and hates his ways. In fact, the Lord's words do not command the flesh. The commandments of the Lord command his spirit inside us. The teachings of the Lord, we cannot live by them unless his spirit is inside us, correct? I mean, if we don't have his spirit, we might be fine people, dandy people, but it doesn't transform us. It doesn't change us. It's when God's spirit comes into us, we're reborn. Then we can understand. It's God's conscience that moves in us to make us aware of our own sinfulness. And it's not just stealing something or lying about something or whatever it might be, dishonoring God or parents. It's about the very fact that the very roots of sin are in us, in our flesh. It's called the sin nature. And the things that we would want to do, we don't do, as Paul said from the very Spirit of God that he spoke. And the things that we want to do, we don't do. The things that we do, we don't want to do. It's a conundrum. It's a horrible position to live in. And for that reason, Jesus teaches us to take up our cross and follow Him. In other words, we put our flesh, its lusts, its desires on a tree and pin it there. We don't let it up for love or money. Nothing. Because flesh will always be self-seeking. Absolutely will be. Flesh does not give itself away. And what you experienced here today, this morning, is not something that just happened in a week or a month or in days. But this is a line that goes back to the very foundations, before the foundations of the world. Scripture tells us, and we read some of it today in Sunday school, the way the Lord made us was after His own heart. And His heart is what we're after. And Scripture actually says that the Lord wants to give us, in Ezekiel, new hearts. To take our hearts of stones and give us hearts of flesh. Hearts that feel and sense. Not just feel out here, but hearts that feel and sense the will of God and do it. That obey, that love Him, that delight in His presence. I don't think there's a more difficult thing to do than for a Christian to admit to his church body that I am the man. It takes courage. It takes humility. Two things we don't often see today, but characteristics and qualities that God demands and expects us to show, because they destroy the hold of the flesh in our life. That was probably the most liberating thing He could have done. And what Scripture says is the manner in which the sin is committed, the sin needs to be repented of. And it was done in broad daylight. And what the Lord tells us is that He takes our sins and separates them as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. With repentance. If there's no repentance, the sin continues. And if the sin continues, there's no remission of sins. That's what Hebrews teaches us. And so, what happened here today is the result of God's heart in the very fabric and foundation of all that we see and know. And all that we even can't see. And it brings us joy and peace. Unspeakably so. Because Scripture itself says that God takes more delight in one repentant sinner than He does over 100 who do the right thing. And I find myself grateful to God and grateful to you all. These are never easy things. And so few of them in my life have ended this way. Most people who are confronted with sin flee. But when you see someone turn their heart, bend their will, and say, God, I agree with you, man, it's a breath of fresh air. It brings healing to us because we were hurting. And I'm going to share a verse, but we're going to take, and I'm not going to preach at all. That was it. But I'm going to share a verse because the sermon title this morning simply is Enlarging Horizons. And when you see that type of repentance, I can tell you that this body is having their horizon enlarged. We're understanding that sin in our midst is destructive. And yes, we love each other enough to hold one another accountable. God asks us to. And, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies that are renewed every morning. How can we sing your praises? Words, notes, they fail in comparison to the richness of your forgiveness that we have received in Christ. How can we adequately ascribe to you the glory that is due to your name? In our spirits, Father, we are full of gratitude. We are full of love and forgiveness, knowing that when we forgive, we are also forgiven at the same time. They go together. But we thank you that yet again, your word has proven its merit, and that if we will call and out the sinner in our midst and hold each other responsible, it is not for their destruction, but it is for their to gain back our brother, our sister. And so we have on this day. Father, there are few things better or more joyous. But I cannot find the words. So we just want you to know how much we love and appreciate you, your faithfulness. We thank you that you have loved us and you have called our brother back. Now may you be with him to strengthen him. May you give us wisdom to encourage him that he would not return to that which he came from. And be with his family, that there would be a turning to you at every point. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The opening sentence of Enlarging Horizons says this: Jesus brings peace, ending hostility between us and God. And this includes both those who are near to him as well as those who are far off. This has great meaning for us today. It demonstrates that God desires to save all mankind. And the passage is 1 Timothy 2:4. Beginning in chapter 2, it says, "First of all, then, I urge you that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. For kings and all who are in authority, so that they may lead a tranquil and quiet life, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." And when we can repent of sins such as this, that is showing and demonstrating godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And verse 5, "For there is one God, one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." And you know, repentance never comes too late. It's always the proper time. We're going to have a prayer, and then you're going to be dismissed. We're dismissed. Cherish this. These are the riches of things yet to come. Let's pray. Father, you are wisdom. You are light. You are life. You bring peace. And through peace, we have unspeakable joy. May you restore to this one the joy of his salvation, as Psalm 51 declares. Father, we thank you for conviction of sin in our own lives and in the lives of our brothers and sisters that calls us to repent, to seek your face while you may be found, as Jeremiah 29 speaks of. And we thank you, Lord, that you desire all men to be saved, to be at peace with you. So for our dear brother, for each of ourselves, Lord, may you who are lion and lamb lay down in peace within our hearts. Thank you for the forgiveness we receive, and thank you for giving us forgiveness to give, because we cannot give that which we have never possessed. But once we possess forgiveness which you have given, we thank you for the unspeakable, inexpressible gift by which we also forgive those who have sinned against us. And we thank you, Father, for the promise of grace and the fulfillment of your word, that this event today speaks to. I give you praise and honor, and thank you for men like Charles and Brother Lumen who were willing to call and hold to accountability a wayward son. And now, as Scripture says, we have won back our brother. And we give you praise. because you are the one who has done this. Lord, we just held on. We just stood our ground. And we thank you for the words of the song. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in grace and peace. Be encouraged, dear ones. These are good days.